Thank you very much. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are around the world. Thank you very much for participating in this call. We will of course give you an overview on the first half of the current fiscal year. Anyway, I think it's of bigger interest and more importance to give you a kind of a guideline regarding our strategic evolution, or let's say maybe here or there also strategic revolution. Anyway, I will give you a brief overview now on what happened in during the first half of the current fiscal year, and later on I will hand over to Ulrike Klemm-Pöttinger, who will give you a detailed overview about the more or less detailed overview about the financials. After that, we are prepared, of course, prepared to answer your questions, and we'll answer them as good as we can. So, the first half of the current fiscal year shows revenues of approximately 336 million, which is 1% behind the respective period of the previous fiscal year. Of course, we are not happy about that because we think that we are gonna anyway increase the revenues over the entire fiscal year. The EBIT ended up with approximately 18 million, which is 25% behind, or 30% behind last year. One has to mention that there were some special effects in the first half of last year, and of course you could question how we will be able to catch up the difference to our guidance that we are going to reach at least the previous year EBIT being at roughly 18 million. So there are still 32 million missing. And anyway, we are convinced that the second half, and I think that's historically proven, will be stronger than the first half of the current fiscal year. Regarding the EBIT margin, we reached a bit more than 5%, which is far away from our targets. And I would like to give you a brief explanation why. So we invested a lot in both the development of the markets as well as the development of the products. The growth we were showing about over the last couple of years, and the growth we are envisaging because of the pipeline we see, requires huge investment R&D, in project management, in delivery, in order to keep our growth. And as you can imagine, adding people, and I just give you an example from one of our locations. We started in this location with approximately 50 people just 1.5 years ago, and we are now at 130 people. This growth, of course, on a short-term basis, reduces the efficiency, because you have to anyway train people, and the necessity to train people also reduces the performance of those who are training these people. But we need to do that in order to be able to satisfy our customers and to get along with our growth. This especially applies to the United States. But anyway, we also have growth in Europe. We have new projects in the pipeline, and we have to deliver existing projects we have gained and won over the last year, over the last 12 months. So this is, of course, one and the core explanation why our EBIT margin decreased. Regarding the projects, we signed the contract for the enforcement system for Germany, which is a contract in between 80 and 120 million, depending upon what the German customer in the end will really order. It's a contract over a period of 12 years, and this is our first step into the German market. We were trying to enter the German market for more than 15 years. And this is the first and therefore a very, very important step into the German market, because this means that Germans now are trusting us. And I really honor that. Second project is Poland. We were able to secure the core of what we did in the past for another 27 months. Of course, honestly, the contract might be terminated 6 months earlier, which means after 21 months. But we believe that we are pretty good positioned to, and that's what we are currently already negotiating, to extend the contract further more in one or the other form. The Czech Republic, we lost the tender for the Czech tolling system. This is very, very unfortunate. And frankly speaking, we offered a very competitive price, and I don't know how our competitor can deliver this project profitably. Considering the price he offered, I don't know. There are of course options, but these options are not in accordance with the tender documentation. Anyway, we'll see, and we are still fighting. We are still fighting legally, but this seems to be a political decision. Anyway, I think this does not have any impact on other countries. For the future, we of course did not in any way consider revenues from, with the exception of the calendar year 2019, anymore. So if we find an agreement in the Czech Republic, this could be improving our financials, but currently we do not in any way consider it. The fourth one is Zambia. We can now fully consolidate it. Frankly speaking, there is not that much to consolidate till up to now, but this project is in the beginning, and this is besides South Africa. And what I can assure you, this will not be a nightmare like South Africa was. We are in a different position, Zambia, compared to what we were in South Africa. But we are convinced that Africa, even if or despite the difficult political situations in African countries, is a huge market for tolling and traffic management applications in the future. Furthermore, we are, and I think that's not yet really received by the market, we are envisaging and trying very hard to become a service provider in both mobility as a service concepts as well as tolling as a service concept. And the reason, that's the reason why we formed a joint venture with Access, which is a French company owned by French road operators and concessionaires. It's a 50-50 joint venture in order to support and serve the European tolling systems market. Why did we form a joint venture? First, because we have a very good relationship with Access, because we delivered the GNSS system to them years ago, and they are satisfied with what we delivered. And this is a proof of concept. And secondly, because we want to share the costs in terms of economies of scale for the basic platform supporting and serving EADS services. So we will go separately with different customers, but we will use the same platform, which reduces the costs of for each of the two of us. We as CAPSCH are already in a contractual relationship with OMV, which is an oil and gas company in Austria. So we think that this is very important and helps us to add additional services to what we do currently. And now I would like to go a bit into our strategy, because I think that our strategy is not really understood by the capital market. Maybe this is all our fault, but and I have to admit that our strategy is a very complex one. We started as a system integrator 20 years ago. We then realized that to be really successful, we need our own and proprietary developed products, what we did. We implemented huge nationwide projects and started to operate them. When we IPO'd the business, we were depending upon basically two huge projects, which was Austria and the Czech Republic. And you can imagine that the volatility of our business was huge. It was really huge. Imagine what has happened with the Czech Republic now would have happened 10 years ago. We would be at the end. We could not further survive. Meanwhile, we have a much lower volatility of our business, because we have hundreds of customers, hundreds of projects. We are currently acting worldwide. We were getting stronger and stronger in our most important market, which is the United States, beside Europe, of course. And we managed to double revenues in the United States over the last 3 years. And I think this is a huge success. I do not really understand why our, but that's of course the investors, why our share price was at 62 when we were depending upon two or three huge projects, and is now at 32 when we really reduced volatility, when we very much improved the risk portfolio. And we find a much better equation between the profit on the one hand side and risk on the other side. Anyway, that's not up to me to decide. This is the decision of the capital market. So just to explain to you where we intend to go. I started explaining the tolling market. We added an additional segment, which is the IMS market. This is of course a way forward to go. This needs and requires investments. But anyway, as I explained already, I think 3 years ago, these two markets are converging, and we can use platforms here and there. Furthermore, we intend to strengthen not just our B2B business, but end up additionally, not substitutionally, but additionally in a B2C model when it comes to mobility as a service offerings and tolling as a service offerings. We are currently working very hard on rolling out tolling as a service models, both for heavy vehicles as well as for personal vehicles, personal cars. And this, of course, also requires investments. And I really can understand that our business model is a very complex one and is not as easy understandable as if we would just deliver medium-sized and huge tolling projects. But the market is proceeding. Technologies are proceeding and changing. Disruption is coming up. And we were always at the forefront of disruption. And we, in the past, and that's proven, we were the ones disrupting markets, and we do not want to be disrupted by somebody else. And I think we have a huge awareness of what's going on within the industry, which is pretty easy because we know our industry for 20 years. But we also have a huge awareness about what's going on surrounding us. And that's the reason why we are expanding our product portfolio. Of course, one could argue, okay, please concentrate, and then your EBIT margin would go up very fast. And yes, this is correct. We could concentrate and our EBIT margin would improve, would dramatically improve. But then we would cut off the future. And that's what I'm not prepared to do. Therefore, we are investing. And that's what I already explained on the occasion of our IPO, that we are long-term thinkers, that we are not short-term thinkers, and that, of course, leads to a situation that sometimes the EBIT margin goes up, sometimes it goes a bit down. But in the end, we should come out being very, very strong. So that's what I wanted to explain. And of course, one could explain it better in a one-on-one and not over the phone. But I think that's very important for you to understand the rationale behind our business model, which leads to the rationale behind behind our financials. And now I would like to hand over to Ulrike for the financials.
Thank you very much. So what is the result of this strategic approaches we see here right now? So let's look in our numbers. And in this fiscal year, we really didn't start with a strong quarter one. And what I can say and share with you, looking at the top line of the revenues, we could catch up in the second quarter our top line, and for the half year we end up with 336 million in comparison to 340 million in the previous year. So we had a little more operating income, which is FX impacted as well. We have increasing change finished goods and work in progress. We have a higher cost in material and other product production services. That's also part of the result why we are not, why the EBIT margin reduced from 7.4% in the comparable previous period to this fiscal year, ending up with 5.33%. Looking at our staff costs, we increased here by approximately 4%. And where are the staff? Where is the staff located now? So we increased the headcount for our project in Bulgaria for improving the numbers of people working in our solution centers that's R&D focused, and North America with a very strong track record in increasing the numbers of projects. So other operating expenses are significantly lower than the comparable period, and the EBIT in total numbers 17.8. What was also expected from the guidance? When we look in our FX impact in the EBIT part, and here you can see that overall the effect of the X impact was 0.7, and the pleasure to have a full consolidated somewhere project in the future was in the which happened in September was was a negative effect of the FX due to the quattro currency. So that on the other side, if we would not have consolidated Zambra in this last month, then we would have had a better result in the EBIT of 1.3 million, just to notice this as well. So when it comes to the financial result, you see that we are more or less on the same level than the previous year, so 5.8. Combination of interest, FX results, and some other expenses. We calculate and use a tax rate of roughly 30%, and the result for the period is 8.4 million for our half year, and the earnings per share 0.70 in comparison to 1.10 of the previous period. So now I would like that you have a look at the our segments. The segments information is much, much more interesting to understand the development of our numbers. So our segments, ETC, IMS, are well known. Still, 78% of our total revenues we allocate and achieve in our ETC. So that's a strong core business still, and will be for many years. The EBIT margin in this segment, 9.5%, is also on a very stable and it's important to look how these revenues are seen per type. So how much is the revenues in our implementation projects, in the operation projects, in components? Starting with the components business, here you see that the sold onboard units are still increasing. So last year we had 5.9%. We could increase it by 6.8%. It's a hardware-driven revenue, which is great to have. And what we experience is that the market is still interested in hardware. So maybe in 5-6 years there will be a shift to software-related products, but at the moment we see here still a big demand in the market. The IMS segment is what Mr. Kapsch explained to you, a very important segment for a strategic approach to deliver services. The mobility as a service, tolling as a service. The mobility as a service means that we have to invest technology, to invest our platforms, to invest also in markets. The revenues in this IMS segment is at the moment too low to cover all these costs and investment and strategic investment for the future. And therefore, you see also in our half-year result a negative EBIT. So the negative EBIT of minus 7 million does not mean that the project in the IMS segments are negative. It does mean that our strategic investment in the future are higher than the margins we can generate and achieve in the segment. Also here, looking at the revenues by type, implementation is a little bit lower than to the comparable period. Operation is more or less on the same level. And the demand for components, we see also on a significant level of 5 million. And looking at the geographic split in both segments, then you see in IMS, the America region has a very strong footprint. 43% is IMS-related business. ETC, 29% is American business. And therefore, I would also to strengthen that we see North America a significant market and also a growth in this area. Coming to the next, some other key financial which are helpful to understand our financial presentation is the net CapEx happened 2.8 million in comparison to 2.4 million. So that's more or less on a very stable level. The free cash flow turned in this half year to minus 16.9. That's due to, on the one side, we paid out the dividend in our last quarter, and we have investments in our project like Bulgaria and also in the North American project. We make pre-investments and get this back then via smaller payment terms. Net cash is turned in net debt, 31.7 million at the current state. Will increase. We will see an increasing net debt also for the next quarter due to the fact, as I mentioned, investing in our implementation project. Payment will come later on. The gearing ratio currently 14.4%, which is fine for us. And the last key financial which I would like to share with you is with the equity ratio. And the equity ratio having a stable balance is important for new bids, and being competitive in for new bids is currently 36%, and that's also what we experience, a very good position for our bids and our financial appearance. So that was a glance of the current situation of our numbers. And now I would like to hand over back to George, which he will share the outlook with you, what we expect for this fiscal year.
Well, thank you very much, Ulrike. Giving you a bit of an outlook, we, of course, think that although, of course, you can imagine we budgeted a bit higher, the revenues and the EBIT will be roughly what we achieved in the last fiscal year. Of course, due to project shifts and this is not that we do not will not grow. We will, on a medium-term perspective, we will grow, of course, in both segments. And you can imagine that tolling is still and will remain our core growth driver. Anyway, IMS systems, whether they are in urban areas or they are on the highway, will get more and more importance, but they will not substitute our business in tolling, but will be an additional business to tolling. So both are growth segments. We envisage that the growth rates for IMS will be stronger on the long run, because the entire ITS market is growing faster than the ETC market. Anyway, our position in the ETC market is very strong, so we are optimistic that we can further strengthen this position and gain additional growth potential out of this strengthening of our position. Regarding the margin situation, we still are convinced that we will stay comfortably in the 10% range for ETC and could, on a medium-term basis, generate an 8% margin on the IMS business. So maybe you think this is not credible because we are telling you that for almost 2 years, but anyway, sometimes things take longer than expected. Sometimes markets are moving slower than expected, and especially in regard to municipalities, which is urban areas, the market is slower than expected because it takes pretty long to convince municipalities to change their mind and to introduce state-of-the-art or especially future-oriented systems. Well, I think that's it, because the rest was covered by my explanation regarding the strategy. So please feel free to ask questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to raise a question may press star followed by one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. The first question is from the line of Daniel Lyon of Erste Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello again. There's three questions that I'd have, if I may. I would like to start with the investments that you mentioned that, of course, are shown at cost. Now, just to put it in perspective, would you expect these investments that you have at cost to remain kind of stable going forward as a percentage maybe of sales or even in absolute terms? Just to get a feeling, if you expect maybe to that dynamics from investments will increase going forward, or would you say that this is anyway on a rather stable level? Maybe some information on this one.
Okay, did you say you have three questions?
Yes. Do you want me to ask them?
As you prefer.
All of them?
As you prefer.
Well, let's do it one by one. That's fine.
Okay. So regarding, I hope I got you right what you mean by investments at cost. Is it correct that you want to know whether our investments compared to the revenue as a percentage of revenue will stay as they are, or if they will stay in absolute terms, or if they will increase proportionally or under or over? Is that
your question? Exactly. That's what it's about. Yeah.
Okay. So we think that on a medium to long term basis, our investments will grow, but under proportionally grow.
Okay. So meaning that share of revenues. Investments, the share of revenues will decrease going forward.
So,
not by next year, but on a longer basis.
Maybe let me add one specific thing. What we see at the moment is like in the German project for the enforcement project, that here we will invest on our balance sheet the equipment. So when you that means, do you want to have an understanding apart from the project business investment in growing the company by acquisitions and or something else, or would this also be interesting for you, how we invest in the new kind of project we see at the market, like in Germany?
May I add something? I answered your question, especially to R&D and market development. I did not answer your question in regard to working capital requirements for projects, because that's, from my perspective, not an investment.
That's, you answered it perfectly right. That was actually what I was asking for. So not specific investments for projects, at least not yet at this stage. The second question, could you maybe help us to understand the development in the IMS business a little bit better? To start maybe with the top line, what do you see in terms of pipeline, potential business developments? When would you expect additional business to kick in, to see gradual growth, maybe even stronger growth? But overall, I would expect it would be a steady growth once markets pick up, because it's actually usually a small contract business, or in terms of volumes, it's smaller contracts. Maybe just to get a feeling of how do you see the developments in the coming quarters, maybe also towards next year regarding business take up.
Well, I think one has to look at that a bit differentiated, because it's not just small projects. When it comes, for instance, to Charm, this is a project of 60 million. And Zambia, of course, is an even bigger project, and these are IMS projects. But when it comes to projects within urban environments, I agree with you that these are smaller projects, projects between, let's say, 500,000 up to 10 million in the future. When it comes to for instance, collaborative routing, better management of traffic signals, combining the information of traffic signals with the connected vehicle, if this market really picks up, the projects will be bigger, and then we also could make use of our investment in connected car, connected road, connected signals, and all that stuff. So okay. I think I can't answer the question regarding next year. This is not an easy task to do, because for the next year we will be budgeting cautiously and conservative, in a conservative way. So this is a medium to long term.
So would this mean that a conservative approach would be stable business development, or would this already imply growth? Because you see in negotiation with clients, maybe also how the market is developing, that you might even be able to grow on the IMS side. Of course, I'm now excluding Zambia, because it's obvious that Zambia will of course contribute positively and you will be able to show growth. But the huge part of the business, or the remaining part of the business, this would be interesting, of course, to see how you look at it. Yeah.
Well, we think that we will end up with approximately 150 million this year, and could generate approximately 200 million next year. But this also this includes
Zambia, of course.
Tolling as a service, mobility as a service.
Okay, I understand. And then second question regarding IMS, could you maybe give us a bridge from what happened in the first quarter to the second quarter on the EBIT level, just to understand how it's possible to get from zero to minus 7 million. Of course, we've heard already about the currency impact of the Quacha, mm-hmm. but just to maybe get a better feeling of being able to better model this for the coming quarters.
So what happens is exactly what you mentioned already is the Quacha. So that was 1.3 million out of the 7, which end up there. Then we had a better expectation of improving our parking solutions to bring this to the market. So also out of this area, we have a negative impact as well. And the preparation work to get the e-service done is also included there. So there is the investments we made to sign the JV with Access and the e-provider that is covered in that 7.
Okay, so what would be a fair run rate to assume? Is this rather towards this zero we've seen in the first quarter, or is it something in between this zero and 7 million in the second quarter?
Look, when it comes to the IMS, so Zambia is, so that means when this project is established and it comes to a run rate, then we see here a positive EBIT result. The second, what I would like to mention is our tolling as a service, mobility as a service. That has a significant leverage when it really starts. That will not start in a big way in this fiscal year, but we are eager to bring this to the market. And then you have a different leverage of our offering in comparison to what we have in the ETC environment.
Okay, what's the difference if you take service and mobility as a service?
When it comes to B2C, then you reach more people than in our tolling services, in our ETC segment.
Okay.
So that's my leverage, I would assume. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And if you have a question, please press star followed by 1. The next question is from the line of Felix Lux of Oddo BHF. Please go ahead.
Hello together. Two questions on Zambia and the Poland contract. Just to get an update on Zambia, how is the cooperation with the joint venture partner going on? Are there any signals from the government? How is the cooperation working with them? And for the Poland contract, you expect a monthly fee of 2.4 million. Just to have an idea, how many staff you need to maintain the system, and how to model this a little bit. Thank you.
Well, thank you for the questions regarding Zambia. Well, we have still a very good relationship with our partner. And secondly, yes, I have to admit that I'm not personally involved in Zambia. I've been there once. So the reports I receive are encouraging, and we still have a very good relationship, and I think it's even improving with the local government.
Okay. Okay, good to know.
Regarding Poland, I would hand over to Ulrike Klemperdinger, because we have two different projects, and this,
yes, yeah.
The 2.4 million just address one of these projects. Is that correct?
That's correct. So, but what we have in Poland is we have two, the manual tolling and the electronic tolling. So the manual tolling, where a lot of people involved, which were working now for another entity. So there we will reduce our headcount by more than 400 people. The remaining part for the operation of the current existing electronic tolling will be very stable on a level between, I would estimate, under 120 people there.
Okay, thank you.
Next question.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. There are no further questions at this time. I hand back to the presenters for closing comments.
Yes, thank you very much, everybody, for attending the call. I'm looking forward to talking to you again on the February 21st, when we will publish our Q1 to Q3 report. Have a great afternoon, a great day, and goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Goodbye.